اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا. Welcome to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. It's 11 minutes after 11. It's Tuesday morning and my name is Junaid Jassat. I will be with you inshallah until 12 o'clock today. The first part of our program, we look at current affairs stories and particularly stories related to tech and technology. So anything that has to do with something interesting in terms of technology and how it affects our lives, this is what we are dealing with in our program in the first half. And at 11:30, we go on to speaking to Hazrat Maulana Yahya Bamzat. Speaking to Maulana Bam today, inshallah, we will be discussing the topic of polygamy. So that's an interesting topic indeed. And that's our program lineup for this morning. The first part of our program, we speak about tech news and tech-related issues. I'd like to focus today on the internet and in particular our free access to the internet, and because of free access to the internet, then obviously there is free access to any type of material that we would like to watch, observe, read, understand and download from the internet. There is free opportunity to do as much and whatever we want and take down from the internet whatever we desire. And so that is the focus of our program this morning, inshallah al-Aziz. And we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us through the entire program. The aspect with regards to the internet is the issue concerning pornography. Now, what we need to understand and what we need to learn from this is that there are definitely situations and there are definitely issues with regards to pornography on the internet. And we know that the majority of the web traffic, the majority of the internet, some people say up to 60%, 70% of the internet is used for pornography and is used to search pornography. Now, what does that mean? It means that out of 10 people, 7 people are searching pornography and watching pornography on the internet. That is a staggering, staggering figure. And it really brings us to the question of how much of pornography is actually carrying on in our homes, how much of pornography is actually carrying on at our workplaces, among our loved ones, among those people in our immediate circle. This question would perhaps be answered or looked upon as a shock, because you now are starting to think that my husband, my father, my son, my brother, they would never be doing something like that. The reality, my respected listeners, the reality is that we need to be very, very careful, and we cannot put anything past anyone, even ourselves. And this brings us to the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the statement of Yusuf alayhi salam after he became absolved of the allegations that they placed against him. Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that I do not even absolve my own nafs. Indeed, the nafs continues instructing and advising wrong and haram and evil. And so this is the statement of Yusuf alayhi salam. And now based on that, we look at our own practice and look at our own family members with regards to internet usage and with regards to pornography on the internet. Like we said, you can download any type of material, you can see anything. And now kids from a very, very young age are going onto the internet and they are being exposed to all these things with regards to pornography, etc. Now, there's an article that has appeared in the Huffington Post that I would like to discuss with you and that I'd like to speak to you about. It's about a particular person who was addicted to pornography, and because of it, he experienced issues as well. And when he experienced his health issues, he was worried, where did it come from, what is the problem, and then he gives his story. He says that there's a misconception that people who get addicted to pornography or have pornography-induced health issues have underlying issues. He says that's a misconception because he says he was raised in a loving family. He had a great support system. He never had a traumatic experience. Never was abused. No history of addiction in the family. He says when he was 8 years old, he found a Playboy magazine, perhaps left by somebody in the family or wherever else he may have found it. So he found a Playboy magazine. This is what he writes. He says, might sound crazy, but as a young boy, I liked looking at naked girls. This is what he mentions. He says, when I was 12, my family got high-speed internet. Immediately, I was watching hardcore pornography. Kids at school would share the best sites and ways to hide it. He says it was a normal part of teen culture. For the first time in human history, kids had unlimited access to hardcore pornography. He says, I did not have issues. Excuse me for that. He says, I did not have issues that caused me to seek pornography. I just had access to pornography. Now, of course, some people addicted to porn have underlying issues, but not all. And so he describes this and he says, and what he describes here is a reality, and what I want to particularly discuss is that, look at this, at the age of 8, he found a magazine and he started enjoying this. Now this is what is happening with our young boys who have most of our homes, many homes have Wi-Fi and internet access. Many parents allow the children use of their cell phones or give them their own cell phones or tablets or computer access as well, and they allow them time to use it on the internet. Parents are busy, they are leading busy lives, they don't have an opportunity to monitor and police the children 24/7 all the time that they are online. And so you look at different websites, sometimes the children are exposed to it via television programs or movies or even games. And those games present ladies dressed inappropriately. And so the children go on and they know what Google is. They know how to type in and get a reply. They know how to search for pictures. They know how to search for videos. They know how to search for everything. This young man, this man says that when he was 12 years old, he was watching hardcore pornography. You know what that does to the mind of a 12-year-old, to a person who is at that age? I'm going to speak to you, I'm going to mention to you something that Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib mentions. And he speaks in his article that is entitled The Influence of Television. And I'm going to read out to you a little bit. He says that the content of most television programs is nothing but immodesty and indecency, which invites nothing but immodesty and indecency into our homes, into our lives, and the lives of our children. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh continues, he says, however, this truth as reality seems to just pass over the understanding of even those Muslims who have some link with deen. Many are regular with salah, they are seen in the masjid, they are wearing the garb of the pious, and yet they will be the ones to present flimsy and feeble excuses to view television programs. Let us consider the situation of sin from the following view, which alhamdulillah has been a means of many getting rid of television. Hazrat Maulana says that if a person has to knock on your door and tell you, I would like to use your lounge to commit adultery, point number one. Point number two, or a group of some friends have to request you, we would like to use your home to gamble and enjoy our liquor. Point number three, or a group of youngsters have to tell you, we have chosen your home as a venue for our partying, dancing, drug taking and fornicating. Next point, or a Christian family has to request you, we would like to use your home as a venue for our church ceremony, the marriage of our daughter, as well as the baptism of our grandchild. We've already obtained the consent of one of our priests. Continues, he says, as some idol worshippers have to suggest, we would like to carry out some of our religious rites in your home. We would like to bring our idols also. You're more welcome to observe, more than welcome to observe or participate in our rites. Hazrat Maulana says, many Muslims on hearing such requests will get very angry, will express disgust, if not swear and curse such suggestions. Says, however, these very same Muslims who will even resort to swearing and cursing such proposals invite into their homes all of the above by the switch of the television, by hiring English and Hindi films and DVDs and downloading porn and other films from the internet. There's so much of adultery, partying and other filth that we seem to just welcome into our homes, least realizing the consequences. He says, let me give you an example. It's the tip of the iceberg. This example is given with the intention of removing the blindfold that most parents wear. He says, a father of four children mentioned to me that he had got rid of his television, and he thereafter explained why. He said that late one night, he heard strange noises from his children's room. On opening the door of their room, he found their television switched on. That Maulana mentions that this is our concept of modesty. Parents must have their own television to view all kinds of filthy programs in their privacy, and children must have their own television to view all kinds of indecency in their privacy. That Maulana continues, he says the father mentioned that there were dirty and obscene scenes of naked people on the television screen. He mentioned that it was filthy and that it shocked him. But what had him even more shaken was that his children were all undressed, engaged in the same kind of indecent acts. They were imitating the pornography they were viewing. He said himself that until then he had not considered the harm of television. It took this kind of indecency to wake him up. This is just one example of so many. Do we wish to face something similar? Hazrat Maulana says that many have written that after watching certain films or programs, the desire came strongly into their hearts to take drugs, drink liquor, murder their parents, indulge in homosexuality, engage in adulterous relationships, commit suicide, rape and so much else, and many of them do so. Moreover, with sins like television and evil, lustful glances, Allah Ta'ala removes the love between husband and wife, and even one's children become disobedient. Na'udhu billahi min dalik. My dear listeners, our program is particularly with regards to internet usage, with regards to the easy access to material on the internet, and with regards to pornography, that is an age-old thing, but it is something that is completely haram. Being completely haram, we need to protect the innocence. We need to protect the dignity, the integrity, and the haya of our children. Now look at the statistic. According to a recent Childline study, 10% of 12 to 13 year olds worry they could be addicted to pornography. And a terrifying 12% have shot their own explicit videos. Can you imagine that? That 12% of children between 12 and 13 years of age have made movies of pornography. Now we have this problem, we have this issue, we have the protection, and we have the cure for this problem in our deen and in our religion as well. We have to exercise taqwa, and we have to imbibe taqwa in our children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it compulsory upon us as parents that qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, that your duty and responsibility is to save yourselves and save your children, your family from the fire of Jahannam. That is a direct instruction, it's a fard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon us. Now what steps are we going to take? My dear listeners, as much as we like to encourage responsible usage of the internet, as much as we like to encourage protection of our children on the internet, we need to be wary and we need to come to terms with reality. And the reality is that the only way that we are going to protect our children is that if we stop them from using the internet, if we stop them from access to the internet and from being left alone to search and view what they like and what they want. And just because we feel that our children are responsible and they are pious or they are hafidhul Quran or that they are responsible, mature children, they are not going to look at it. That is a dreams world that we are living in. The reality is that it is a dreams world. We need to be careful of every single thing that our children are looking at, even if they are old or they are young. Even if they are 4 and 5 years old, we need to be careful that we need to know exactly where they are going. And remember, we think that we are in our 30s and 40s and we are internet savvy and we know where our children are going and we are aware of how to use the internet and they can't just put anything past us. You need to come to reality and come to terms with the fact that the children are 10 times smarter than you. You think you have grown up with the internet age, but your children are 10 times smarter than you and they can hide things away from you that you wouldn't even realize. And the innocence that they display, you need to be very, very wary, very, very cautious about that innocence. That it's not true innocence and it's not true nice behavior that they are displaying, but it's actually that they are hiding something much more serious that is happening in the background. So we need to be careful of it and question your children, question the usage, question the time that they spend with their friends, and I would advise that the time with their friends must be very, very limited. Very, very controlled, supervised, and very, very limited, so that you are able to understand what they are doing and where they are going, and teach your children to be responsible. Teach your children to forever remain conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imbibe taqwa within them. Show them what is taqwa. Practice taqwa yourself. And inshallah, they will also develop taqwa themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and protect us all. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our children particularly. It's just gone now 29 minutes after 11, and it's almost 11:30. Just after this break, we'll be speaking to Maulana Yahya Bam. Stay tuned. 27 minutes to 12, welcome back to Al-Mashriq on Radio Islam International. And a warm welcome to my guest this morning, Hazrat Maulana Yahya. Maulana Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana. Are we all right?
Very well, alhamdulillah, shukr. How is your health, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, shukr, alhamdulillah. Ji, Maulana.
Ji, alhamdulillah, shukr. Maulana, we missed our program last week. We played a repeat, but inshallah, Aziz, this week we are going to be focusing on the issue of polygamy and marrying, or ta'addudul azwaj, as it is mentioned in Arabic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Kareem of having 2, 3, or 4 wives. And this is the topic that we are looking at, inshallah.
Ji, Maulana, how we came to this topic today is that last week I had a few women, it was about a group of 10 or somewhere around there, women that came to see me, and they have formed a support group for those ladies that are in a marriage of this type where there are a few in a marriage and they have found various type of challenges and difficulties. But at the same time, I must say that this past Sunday, there was a very good program on Radio Islam. I didn't hear it all because I heard snippets here and there. But it was about the second marriage and the third marriage and the allowances. There were quite a few muftis on the phone and they had a good discussion. If somebody wants to refer, they may go back to that program also. It might be interesting to listen to that program. But in any case, this is a reality, Maulana, and it's a topic that has quite a few challenges, and at times, if misunderstood, people can go to the extremes of vulgar discussion on this matter. While if a person fairly and correctly approaches this, then you will come to a very good conclusion and you will understand what Islam is saying and the allowances that Islam has given. The first thing that we will do is that where the Quran Kareem speaks about then marry women of your choice. Two or three matna, matulata, ruba, two or three or four. But if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly, then obviously it is one that you will marry. This is the Quranic allowance that is given with regards to marriage. So the first thing, before we go into the many different discussions, if Allah has allowed this, then our stance should not be, and so many women do this when we begin the discussion on this type of living lifestyle, then her initial and holy stance will be that I don't accept it, it's against my way, I don't hear a bit about it, I don't believe in it. When you do that, then you are going against a Quranic allowance. You cannot do that. But on the other side, when you're going to say, yes, the Quran says that, but let's talk about it. Because if a man is going to go and secretly do it, just like talaq, if a man goes and does his talaq, three talaq, the talaq will happen. But the amount of sin and the amount of wrong and the way Allah Ta'ala has spoken about three talaq in one go, that I know there are some ulama, they don't even accept the three talaqs to have happened. Because of the way the Quran speaks about the three talaqs. In the same way, with regards to marriages, more than one is allowed, but there are conditions, there are ways to go about it. Although if the man goes about getting married to a woman without informing his second wife, the marriage gets done, the nikah gets done. But that is not the teaching, the practice and the way of Islam. He's supposed to inform the wife. He's supposed to have equality in the wives that he's going to have and in the children. And originally, when you look at originally when Islam did allow the second wife, it was because of, so very often, it was because of the yatims that were involved in giving shelter to them, Maulana.
Yes. So, it's an intricate topic. It is a topic which we have to approach with a great amount of moderation, with a great amount of understanding and knowledge, as well as an insight into the rules of the issue as well, and there has to be a great amount of fairness as well practiced by the husband.
Maulana, when it comes to the person that you are talking to, if the audience are Muslim, if it's Muslim women, then the topic will go a particular way. And if it is non-Muslims, then this whole topic will go and the discussion will be quite different. While before Islam, Abraham, Moses, Jesus also said, Isa al-Islam, allowed, and it was in practice in the Europe till very lately. So when you're talking to not Muslims or people that are just entering Islam, then we will give them the examples of the past religions and what the allowance and the logic. But here when you are talking to Muslims, we are not going to be talking about whether it's allowed or not. That Islamically is something that is already allowed by the Quran. We need to go into the second step, and that is when it is allowed. First of all, how the man goes about getting married, the way he does it, and then when he has more wives, then treating them equally and being kind to them equally, and in that way. And then another matter, alone when we talk to the men, that is when the audience for women. Now when we're talking to men, if a man is going to get married to a woman, after he had his first wife, when he got married to his first wife, he was 20, 25, and the wife was 20, 25, and 25 years later, when he is 50 and his first wife is 50, now he goes on to take a wife that is 25. Now the whole thing is going to be out of balance. And when he takes a wife and is going to get her a penthouse or something of that sort, and his lifestyle is going to be dedicated to the second wife, and the first wife becomes a spare wheel, then in that case, that will happen, which is happening in our society. People are against second wives. People are against these type of second marriages because of the man that when he makes a second wife, the way he ill-treats one of them and the way he will completely have the favoritism onto one. And the result is everybody then looks at a second marriage story is an ugly monster coming into our eyes. While on the other side, there are those that have taken on the second wife in the proper way. And there are so many stories and so many good type of presentations on this matter, where a man takes a second wife and how he treats them and how wonderful that home is run, and becomes an example to many to see what this allowance is and where it takes you to, Maulana.
In every aspect of our Sharia and every aspect of our deen, it is how we present ourselves that gives the impression of what deen is. And in this issue as well, alhamdulillah, in those situations where the masalas are kept in mind, the rules and regulations are followed and practiced carefully, and all considerations are put into place, then it turns out successful, and it turns out a means of we can say, encouragement for others. Now, on the topic that you mentioned earlier on of a man getting married in a situation where he doesn't even inform his first wife, we had this discussion as well on Radio Islam a few years back, and the point was mentioned that if, for example, you are going to get a job now, you are leaving South Africa, you're moving to America, and you have to take your whole family, you're not going to wake up one morning and say, okay, from to this evening our flight is booked and we are moving to America and we're going to live there forever now. Obviously, you are going to speak to them, discuss it with them. You are going to condition them, prepare them. You are going to get all arrangements in place. Make everything and everybody happy with the decision. Make everybody understand the decision. Then you will take the step finally of saying, okay, now we are going over. And that is exactly the same. Their lives are going to be turned upside down and going to change forever. So obviously it's necessary to condition, prepare, discuss, make them understand and make all the necessary preparations.
100%, Maulana. That woman has to be told in so many cases. I know of one case where a person I heard the other day speaking about when he got married on the time of the nikah, when he got married to his first wife, then already he told her that I will be getting married to a second woman, and the conditions and circumstances of his real working in different places. And together the husband and the wife found that second woman, and there was this bliss in that marriage, in the way he went through it, and in the way. And then there is another thing, Maulana, a very, very important matter with regards to a second wife in polygamy is the man's financial situation today. One is a person lives in the way that people lived in rural times, and you just needed a very simple hatur-rundaval for the one wife and another hatur-rundaval for your second wife. And it was very, everyone and all his lives were at that level. Today we're living like the Jones. I mean, to support and get the one home going, we haven't got enough. Where are you going to do it for the second wife? And where are you going to be able to support that second wife with all that which we want? And we have made the needs of our lives today the level of our living. So we want to live in a Western world. We want to live the style of the West. We want to have in our home all those luxurious things. We want to have the eating habits and patterns of luxury the way they have. And then you want to get married to a second woman. It becomes very difficult and not manageable, Maulana. Today, in a simple monogamous marriage, one husband and wife alone, and so often the problems and the troubles are because the men cannot support, or the two of them together cannot support the lifestyle, and the money is not enough. Money is a big question. Now, if that is the question with the one wife, where you're going to come to that monetary position today? That's one. Then there's another thing, Maulana. Another thing is that when you're going to get that second wife, the matter of equality is very, very important also, Maulana.
Oh yes, that is the basis of the marriage, that equality in every aspect and in every practice, in time, in money, in distribution of everything. The only thing that there cannot be equality is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned himself, and he mentioned this, that, oh Allah, this is my distribution in what I had control of, but I don't have control of distribution of my heart and my emotions and my feelings. And that is the only thing that we cannot control equality in.
That is true, Maulana, with regards to the emotions of the heart. And that is in all other matters of life also. One is your heart leans towards something. One is the heart can do easily. But on the other side, the command of Allah we need to carry out. And Hazrat Hanif Rahmatullah Ali, when he got married for a second time, then people told him, Hazrat, you have now opened the door to second marriages. He said, I'm not open. When you see the way I deal with my two wives, then you will know that I've not opened, I've closed the door. Because the equality, how much one person brought two watermelons. Because they knew that Hazrat had two wives, so he brought two similar watermelons, and he presented one for the one house, one for the other house. And immediately Hazrat Hanif said, put the two watermelons down. Cut this one into half, and cut that one into half. When they made it into half, then he said, one half of this and the other to the one house, and one half, the other half, and the other half to the second house. So the little wizard, why did you do that? They were similar, they were completely same in size, etc. He said, yes, they were similar, or they were same in size, but they weren't equal in sweetness. In this way, I've distributed the taste also to the two houses. So in this way, the minds went so far in wanting to carry out the distribution and the equality. In any case, if a person, for example, marries a woman where he has taken permission from her that the first wife, where I have children and I will be spending more time, and he gets that type of, I mean, that is what the type of explanations people bring to us, that I've got this arranged and I've got that arranged. But in any case, Islam allows that second marriage, but we need to look at these matters that we inform, we try to get as much equality, then we try to get harmony between the two. Don't get them to compete each other, and don't get animosity between the two wives, and when the children are going to be, that is where the wrong comes in. I mean, just this morning, I had one lady, Molana, that came to me and that is now telling me that because her husband has now divorced her and they are separated, but now she's talking about the problems that she had with that man, and he wanted to come to her sexually up to 5, 7, 8, 9 times in one night. And she's telling me that she had told him, why don't you get married? And eventually the reason for the breakdown was because she could not handle this man's approach to her bed. And on the other side, then he started going out with other women. And for this man, if he has some monetary position, he should be getting married here for the lust which is so strong in him. But in any case, we need to talk about these things and the support groups that have formed for those women that are either the first or that are in the second position of marriage. They need that type of support and help and understanding and reasoning into what is happening today in the way men are going about doing the second marriages. Molana?
Support groups are sounding encouraging, and it's sounding like an interesting project as well. And it helps and assists in terms of dealing with situations like this and coming to understanding of the situations as well.
Definitely. And then we take it further where we need to at times talk about what is happening in the home. I mean, the same, very same lady that I'm talking about, she then started speaking about how her husband would physically assault and hit her, and the hiding was for this problems in marriage. The only best thing for him was that he should have got married to a second, or even if it meant a third wife. But will his monetary strength allow him to take a second wife and third wife? That's another question that needs to be answered. Or else Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that if you can't control yourself and you don't have that wealth, then your alternative is to make roza, keep fast, and control your passion that way. But people are moving away from deen and deeny teachings, and they're not looking at these things, and the result is we're having these type of problems, Mala.
Yes, we are moving away from deen and also the external influences. In the first half an hour, I was speaking about the internet and the viewing of pornography and things like that, and how that affects our minds and it affects our lives as well. Molana, looking at a situation like this, you spoke about a situation where a man gets married privately or secretly to his second wife. How does the family deal with that, and how do they come to terms with that?
Molana, when a person gets secretly married, although that nikah has taken place, like I said, that when a person gives a three talaqs at one go, although the talaq has taken place, but then the after effects from that are very bad and very rough. In the very same way, when a man gets secretly married to his other wife, then when the first wife comes to know, it completely shatters her, and so many times that marriage, that second marriage then has to be nullified, because the children will not buy in, there will be no peace of mind, and it just becomes ugly and even uglier. If he informs the first wife, even if she is not accepting, he needs to explain to her, and he needs to assure her, and then when he goes into the marriage, he needs to then demonstrate and show her. Any case, if he got married to the second wife, and now the second, he is living with her, he's now had children, but then a time comes when he has to inform the first wife and inform the children that these are brothers and sisters to you, there is a question of inheritance, and very important, there are cases where the children from the first wife, later in years, they met with their brothers and sisters, not knowing. And there is a case where the boy then brings home this beautiful girl that he falls in love with at college. When the father asks about her parents, etc., he realizes, this is my daughter that has fallen in love with my son. Now what do you do? And then, any case, he opened up to them what the reality and that story of the hidden love marriage that he had. It reaches such proportions, Maulana.
So if a person doesn't disclose it, then it creates further problems later on in life, and especially, obviously, with the case of inheritance and things like that also.
Definitely, Maulana.
So people need to understand, but Maulana, the issue is that because it has been viewed in our community and in our society as a taboo, then people would rather go and do it privately and secretly, or even worse, commit adultery and zina than coming out in the open with it.
Maulana, is the person is afraid that he's going to do zina? Is he going to get involved because he's not getting full satisfaction from his wife? Although there was a monetary problem, although whatever it is, but rather than zina, mistresses and all those stories, he rather get married to a second wife instead of being haram. But marriages are not supposed to be where quietly you get two men, you can make a nikah quietly, almost like the way the Shias do a temporary marriage for a few days. No, if you're getting married, then make elan of the nikah. Although it is the second wife, make elan of the nikah. The nikahs are best performed in masajid. Let it be done in a masjid, and then he needs to take on the challenges that are going to come. So rather than zina, but if he does it the correct way, a second wife is something that can be a beautiful story in a person's life. As I've mentioned to you previously also, if it is in the Arab world, somebody came to you to marry your daughter, that person will say that, all right, I give you my daughter, but within a year, you need to get married to a second wife. Why? Because my daughter is going to clean your house for you, cook for you, look after your house, and give you pleasure also. And for a whole year, get yourself onto your feet and get a second wife within a year, then there will be two in the house to serve you and to make life easy for you. And then if you get married to a third, even better. But that is if we look at it from a positive aspect. We look at it from a more selfish aspect, and that is why a second wife can only mean war and competition and hatred and that type of negative positions. And when it is very important that the man plays the positive and the correct approach to the story, whatever it may be. If he is not standing properly and doesn't demonstrate a correct directive, then we will get all this. If he does it correctly, there will be peace and harmony between the two wives, and there will be goodness and equality, and the result is that they will see the goodness in a second marriage also. Maulana.
Allah has his. Maulana, it brings us to the end of the program this morning. And Jazakallah khairan for your time. Inshallah, we'll speak next week.
Inshallah, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So this is Maulana Yahya Bansab. And shukran to my studio operator, Brother Usama. Unfortunately, we didn't have time to take on any questions at the end. Perhaps we would present it to Maulana next week. Shukran jazilan for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.